there to decide that we had a better right. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. From the starting time to finish line, we galloping in style.
Welcome to Wooden Spoons on CKUW 95.9 FM. My name is John Dick, and I'm here with community nutritionist Mary Jane Eason to discuss topics of healthy living, environmental issues, what's going on in our community, as well as other interesting things in this one-hour show. On Wooden Spoons, you recognize that all things are related, and with learning and awareness, we connect the dots that make up our world. Every Friday morning on Wooden Spoons, we speak with guests on today's relevant issues, share nutritious recipes, and explore important topics with perspectives not found in mainstream media. Time right now is 8:01 a.m., and the temperature outside is around... just check
one
this.
1 degrees or something like
that? Yeah, it's...
It's not bad.
2 degrees, oh, actually. Good morning, Mary Jane.
Good morning, John. I see you have a haircut. You look different.
Yeah, I'm usually wearing a hat when I come in, but I forgot to put it on this morning.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, so it's turning out to be, I think, a nice day, and it's nice to see that the snow is gone and. You know, we don't have to wear boots and things like that. So,
oh, for sure.
Spring is in the air, for sure. It's really, I think we're all really looking forward to warm weather and all sorts of things. And I know at the school, the garden plots are now bare. There's no more snow on them. And, you know, it's a nice time of year for sure. Anyway, I would like to acknowledge that we are located on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional land and waters of the Innu Cree, Anishinaabe, Ojibwe, Anishinaabe, Ojibwe, Cree, Dakota, and Dene people, as well as the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis homeland. We also acknowledge the Shoal Lake No. 40 First Nation and its territory for our life-giving water. So just to go over, but what we're going to be doing today, but we have a guest, and I hope that Marie LeBlanc has made it on the station. I know that you sent her the information.
Yeah. Are you there, Marie?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. And... yeah, I would also like to acknowledge that Maurice Torelli and Kaylin Spain, they offer a program titled Dialogues, Gravel Roads and City Lights on Wooden Spoons, alternatively with our program. However, I do believe that I forgot to confirm this, but I think they're going to be having... I might have to come twice in a row next month because there's some little change that they need to make for a particular program, but I'm not quite sure. But anyways, normally we have Wooden Spoons, we are on air every alternate Friday. And yeah. So that I just wanted to clarify that. So how have you been, John? Have you been keeping busy?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah. So we do have a guest this morning, and I will introduce her shortly. And this is for the first part of our one-hour show. And as time permits, I will share some information on some issues and also have some announcements and have a recipe as time permits. So on that note, I would like to introduce our guest. Her name is, we're being joined by Marie LeBlanc, who in the past had been on Wooden Spoon several times with Mark Friesen to discuss issues of electromagnetic hypersensitivity and multiple chemical sensitivities. Marie holds a Bachelor of Arts in Human Geography and Sociology from the University of Manitoba. Her dreams of using her degree in human geography and sociology to pursue a career in ecotourism went by the wayside when she developed environmental illnesses such as multiple chemical sensitivity and electromagnetic hypersensitivity. She was later to find out that she had Lyme disease and mold-related illness. Instead, she expresses herself through the art of photography and making short films. She changed her career plans were completely changed. Originally from northern Manitoba, Marie lived in Winnipeg before relocating to Alberta. So today we'll be talking to Marie about the work she has been doing and her latest project titled Illuminate Canada Yellow, as we explore the issues of environmental sensitivities, also, in the short, ES, and multiple chemical sensitivities, also called MS-MCS. Welcome to Wooden Spoons, Marie.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so how are you this morning?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, that's a good beginning anyway. So, okay, Marie, you have an event called Illuminate Canada Yellow 2026, Coast to Coast to Coast, for environmental sensitivities, multiple chemical sensitivities, May Awareness Month. That's a long title, Multiple Chemical Sensitivities May Awareness Month, from May the 1st to May the 2nd, with wrap-up on May the 13th. Do you want to tell us about your project, Illuminate Canada Yellow 2026? Where and when will we see this event in our city? And in how many places are being lit? And who is sponsoring the event? So there's a lot of questions wrapped into one.
Well, thank you for that question. The event is from May 1st to May 12th with the wrap-up on May 13th, and the project is sponsored by the Environmental Health Association of Manitoba. I'm the Outreach and Public Awareness Coordinator for Environmental Health Association of Manitoba. Illuminate Canada is a national campaign that shines a yellow light on environmental sensitivities, including multiple chemical sensitivity, electromagnetic hypersensitivity, and mold-related illness. Many places across Canada, they light up a special color to mark important days or campaigns. And several years ago in a mentorship, I was talking about this with my mentor. This is like 2016. So about 7 years ago, I thought, well, why not? Why not environmental sensitivities? So the first lighting that I had was arranged in Alberta at the High Level Bridge. Then later, the Manitoba Legislature. And last year was the first year that we had Illuminate Canada Yellow, and we had over 20 landmarks. This year we have more than 50 landmarks, actually close to 60, and they include the CN Tower in Toronto, BC Place, Science World in Vancouver, the Alberta Legislature, and different legislatures. And there's different places in Winnipeg, and I think I'm getting into that later, because there was it's the Legislative Assembly of Manitoba, the Esplanade, Riel Bridge, Winnipeg Sign, Selkirk Water Tower, and those are on May 1st. And May 12th is the RBC Convention Center on York. And some landmarks across Canada are lit yellow and green because there is another organization running a parallel program. And the color yellow stands for visibility, dignity, and recognition for people whose health is harmed by chemicals, fragrances, Wi-Fi, and other environmental triggers. And our goal is to promote education, awareness about environmental sensitivities and environmentally induced illnesses, and to support those living with these conditions. And this year we have an international flair.
This is now this is quite an undertaking. It's like it seems like Canada wide. How are these things being done? I guess you have groups of people in each area in which the lighting is taking place that get involved to do this.
Oh, so I actually approach the different places across Canada that light. So I approach different places to light up. And I'm looking for photographers that I've emailed to a whole bunch of photographers. I haven't had that much of a response. So that's the biggest thing right now is trying to find photographers to take pictures of these buildings, lit yellow bridges, other landmarks, CN Tower. And I really, there's also another part of the event where people can take pictures of anything yellow. I have different themes throughout May 1st to the 12th of different pictures people can take of yellow themes, and they can share their photos by tagging Illuminate Canada Yellow 2026, or they could send me their photo or put it right into the comments of the program, and they can also post on their social media as well.
Well, you certainly have this well organized and well planned. It's excuse me. It's going to be a very interesting event. And why the color yellow?
Yellow is like the canary in the coal mine idea. Angelique Ashton mentions that the yellow is the color most often associated with multiple chemical sensitivity and environmental awareness because a canary moniker adopted by the community of people living with these conditions. They're truly the canaries in the coal mine. We sound the alarm for all of society about the dangers of toxic chemicals permeating our everyday lives. You know, just like the tiny birds carried into the coal mines to warn workers of the presence of harmful fumes, there's millions among us who, due to injury, work-related exposure, mold toxicity, and other environmentally related conditions, were highly intolerant of a vast array of chemicals that permeate our everyday world. But we're the canaries in the coal mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good symbolism for sure. I seem to have a sensitivity right here in the studio. Something is irritating my throat.
Oh, that's not good.
So here we go. So you mentioned what places are being lit in Winnipeg and Manitoba. So that is quite quite an undertaking that you have started. And you know, you've been doing this for a number of years. So what is the impact of environmental sensitivity on a person's life? And why is it important to have this event for that reason?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The outcomes of environmental sensitivities can be severe and life-altering. People experience ongoing symptoms like fatigue, breathing issues, pain, cognitive difficulties, and that become chronic over time. These conditions often make it impossible to work or safely access everyday environments, leading to financial hardship and social isolation. In many cases, people lose access to safe housing, some become housebound, while others are forced to live in vehicles or outdoors to avoid triggers. Without proper recognition and support, it becomes a cycle of declining health and instability. The impact on people's lives and livelihoods is profound. Many experience shrinking social circles, barriers to employment, and a lack of safe, accessible housing. There's also ongoing stigma and misunderstanding, which can make it difficult to access appropriate medical care or support. A hidden but critical issue is homelessness. Many people cannot tolerate traditional housing due to exposures like cleaning agents, laundry exhaust, mold, or nearby electromagnetic sources. and some are forced just to live outdoors or in vehicles, and like others, they're just effectively trapped in environments they cannot safely leave or remain in. And this has also been a huge impact on my life. Like personally, it shaped nearly every aspect of my life. I've had to travel to different provinces for diagnosis. And after experiencing kidney failure due to mold, I was advised to live in my van to reduce exposures. And then I normally go to the States in the winter. So it's been quite a challenge.
Well, for sure. And you have been, you're a survivor, and you have been, I understand that you have to live in a van. You are not able to live in society. You live in Calgary on somebody's land, and they are allowing you to do this. And you also, in the winter, when it gets cold, you travel to Arizona, where there is also a community of people who have these multiple chemical sensitivities. Do you want to just comment on that kind of lifestyle and, you know, how that impacts your life? I mean, it's quite a situation that you're in. You know, you're under this umbrella of sensitivity.
Well, it actually has been really hard this year. I'm really not going to get into much what's happened this winter, but it didn't quite happen like it normally does this winter, and that would be another radio show probably. But it has been really hard, and like, how do you prove where you live when you're trying to find medical? You know, or if the van gets broken into, what do you do? It's just been like, just a constant spiral of just searching for spaces of where do I stay, you know, things like that. It's just been really, really a challenge. And then at the very first time I went down to the States, it was really hard because I didn't really know anybody down there. And when I do go back, at least I have different places I can, you know, stay outside their property and just keep on going.
Well, that, you know, you're obviously very resourceful because this is a huge life change for you to be in this situation. It is hard for most people to understand that. It seems so very, very difficult, and you have to cope on your own. You know, I'm sure you have supports of people that try to help you, like Mark Friesen would be somebody that you can relate to. As she herself is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe do you want to comment on these kinds of things?
Pardon me?
Maybe you want to comment on your, you know, the contacts you have with people that can be supportive towards you and who understand what you are living with.
Oh, okay. So there's a lot of contacts I have of people with chemical sensitivity through Facebook groups. And I become friends with a lot of them. And we ask a lot of questions. We support each other. And there's a lot of people going through a lot of challenges. And it's just nice to know that you have a place where if I don't know anything, I can ask someone, because I do a lot of asking. There's a lot I don't know. And a lot of people will help me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good... way of doing it. It's very intelligent, and it's a learning curve all the way through. It's very unique. I don't know if there are other people like yourself that have to live away from society, or like in your situation, you live on somebody else's land, and it's just hard to imagine what people do when they have this problem and they don't know how to cope with it.
Yeah, it is really hard. I see a lot on the internet of people, they're just in dire straits, and now they got to leave their place, and they're so scared, and I totally get it, and they don't know what to do. There's no support, no housing, you know, there's nothing for them, and they're so sick, they even going into medical places is hard. Like for me, going into a medical place is really hard, and I've had to access some medical lately, but I've also had to get rid of some very good professionals. I just couldn't be in there.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very challenging. So getting back to, you're going to be taking photos. There's going to be photos taken of the landmarks that are going to be in yellow. And you mentioned what places are going to be lit in Winnipeg and Manitoba. So maybe you could just indicate what are some of the triggers to environmental sensitivities. How do you know that something is bothering you? What sets it off?
Well, environmental sensitivities is an umbrella term that includes conditions like multiple chemical sensitivity, electromagnetic hypersensitivity, and mold-related illness. And these involve severe adverse reactions to everyday environmental exposures, such as perfumes, laundry exhaust, laundry and cleaning products, smoke of any kind, marijuana, smoke from fires, campfires, cigarette, mold, pesticides, Wi-Fi, electronics, and pollutants from new building materials or furniture. The list goes on, paints, carpets. there's so many things that most people can tolerate them without issue. And for those affected with even very low levels of exposure, it can trigger symptoms ranging completely like from irritation to completely debilitating. And it can include fatigue, breathing difficulties, brain fog, chronic pain. And MCS in particular refers to like reactions to low dose chemical exposures, making ordinary environments unpredictable and often unsafe. So people are suffering a great deal.
You're listening to CKOW 95.9 FM. Our guest this morning is Marie LeBlanc, and she's talking about electromagnetic and chemical sensitivities. John, do you have any comments or questions?
Not at this moment.
Okay. So I think, the environmental sensitivities, as you were explaining, has a huge impact on your life in every aspect. Now, maybe we could talk about the project, Illuminate Canada Yellow 2026. It has an international flair this year. Would you tell us about a project offered by Angelique Ashton, referred to as a Canary Project?
Yes. This year's campaign joins the Canary Project's Illuminate America Yellow initiative, founded by Angelique Ashton in about 2015. So this was born from personal experience after her husband's diagnosis with multiple chemical sensitivity in 2007. Where she has transformed awareness into action. So through her creativity as an artist, jewelry and costume designer, and she's a beauty queen, and she advocates, for all of us. She uses the visibility of her crown and platform to shine a light on environmental illness and chemical injury. And the Canary Project's mission is to build a world that is safe for the chemically sensitive as it is for everyone else, preventing chemical injuries while preserving consumer freedoms through grassroots education, strategic partnerships, and inspired action. So what began as a single lighting project in Seattle is now grown into a North American grassroots movement, Illuminating America Yellow, in collaboration with Illuminate Canada Yellow. So together, we unite communities from coast to coast to coast, lighting landmarks in yellow, each May to mark Environmental Sensitivities Awareness Month. A bright yellow symbol of inclusion, prevention, and hope for a healthier future.
Mm-hmm. And the color yellow and the significance of the canary in the title of the project, I guess, refers to the symbol of a canary in a coal mine being the first creature that will die, and then that lets the people in the mine, the miners, know that there is something, some danger there, and they have to leave the mine.
Yeah, that's exactly what we are.
Mm-hmm. Another advocate you mentioned is Jeanette Lagavan. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right, who shows pictures of faces of people from around the world. And what is her message?
Okay, so Jeanette Langevin, representing Collectif Santé Sans Produit Parfumé, has launched an international initiative entitled Multiple Chemical Sensitivity Global Empowerment Awareness and Reclaim Project. So this is a global collaboration. It's dedicated to fostering international cooperation and promoting constructive, inclusive outcomes for individuals and communities. The project's primary focus is on addressing the widespread use of fragrance products within healthcare institutions and residential buildings, environments that must be accessible and safe for all. So with millions of people worldwide affected by chemical sensitivities, this initiative seeks to reclaim the fundamental right to safe healthcare and safe housing. Through awareness, empowerment, and collaboration, participants aim to bring lasting change to public health practices and health standards. So she has like a photo collection that presents individuals from around the world who are uniting under this cause, reminding us that awareness begins with visibility and shared understanding.
This sounds very, very impressive. It's quite astounding when you think of all the different things that are in grocery stores and all sorts of stores. You're talking about fragrances. Now, just made me aware of the fact that I get laundry detergent soap, and I get it from, I can't remember where, but some type of health store. And I have to order it every time. I have to find the container and I think it's at Humboldt's Legacy. That's the store. It's kind of a health store. Well, it is a health store and a clothing store. And so I buy that detergent. It has no fragrance. And, I think these fragrances and all these different things we buy probably are very, very, very powerful triggers for a lot of people. And over time, being exposed to that is not very good for your health. So I think you're on the right track of avoiding. You have to avoid all these fragrances that interfere with our air. Anyway, you also spoke about working on and drafting a proclamation, and Mark Friesen assisted in that project as well. So would you define the word proclamation, which in my mind is highlighting a message for all to receive, but I'm not sure what you mean by this.
Well, I think you're on the right track there. Some places issue official declarations called proclamations to help educate the public and raise awareness. This past year, I approached Mark Friesen, the Director of Environmental Health Association of Manitoba, with a proclamation idea. Mark said, "Let's do it." So her and I worked on a proclamation that was based on a resolution proposed by my late mother. And then Dr. Meg Sears suggested alternate wording about electromagnetic hypersensitivity. And with help from volunteers who gathered names, cities, and other support, I emailed more than 150 mayors individually. So by May 12th, there will be hopefully more than 20 proclamations from mayors across Canada that will have signed the proclamations. And I have received positive feedback from many mayor's offices that do not usually issue proclamations.
So a proclamation is basically a statement, right? It is a statement that warns people. And I think you sent me a whole page. It says multiple sensitivities / multiple chemical sensitivity awareness 2026. Do you want to read? Do you have a proclamation in front of you? Do you want to just give us a few examples of it?
Okay, I can just shorten it up a bit. So the original proclamation sent out states that environmental sensitivities, including multiple chemical sensitivity, can seriously affect daily life and quality of life, that the Canadian Human Rights Commission recognizes environmental sensitivities, and that more than 1 million people in Canada are estimated to have multiple chemical sensitivity. And it also mentions that people with MCS may be at higher risk of electromagnetic hypersensitivity, and that may is environmental sensitivity, multiple chemical sensitivity awareness month, with May 12th recognized as environmental sensitivity, multiple chemical sensitivity awareness day. It also notes that people living with these conditions need access to safe housing and appropriate health care, and that community efforts by organizations and individuals help raise awareness, offer hope, and support research through advocacy and fundraising. The final wording of each proclamation is set by the issuing office, so it may not be the same as what I sent to them.
So this is you know, it's good that this is really helping the public to become aware of the dangers, because most people have no idea. And a lot of people, they may become ill, you know, with working on the farms and working with different chemicals and whatnot. They may become ill and not even recognize what the cause is. So it's very important that this is you're spreading the word, they're educating the public through all these kinds of types of information. So that's half the battle, I think. And you did mention Dr. Meg Sears, and she's the director of Prevent Cancer Now, and she's taking part in the event. Did you say?
Yes. So this year also celebrates a historic milestone in Ottawa, where Dr. Meg Sears, the author of the Medical Perspective on Environmental Sensitivities for the Canadian Human Rights Commission, she'll be receiving an official proclamation recognizing environmental sensitivities. So for me, I feel it's such a meaningful, full-circle moment for the scientist whose research helped bring these conditions into Canada's medical and human rights conversations. Her report helped bring greater recognition to this issue and helped inform the Canadian Rights Human Rights Commission's policy.
Yeah, that's Dr. Meg Sears has been on our program in the past. And so, you know, I'm hoping to be able to just have an interview with her one of these days again, and to discuss the issue of cancer. And so, I mean, the you know, cancer itself has been, okay, in my, at one time cancer was rare, absolutely rare. In my grandmother's day, I never knew my maternal grandmother, but she had cancer, but really there were very few people that had cancer. And it became a big issue to have cancer. At one time, when they took my grandmother to the city, to the hospital, and they couldn't find a place for her to stay because people were afraid of cancer. They never heard of it before. They thought they wanted her. My aunt had to wash all the walls when they left the place, when they did find a place to stay, so she could get to see a doctor. And they had to wash the walls in the apartment. That's how bizarre this is. But because cancer was so rare, that, and today it is so common, and it's happening to not to older people as much as it is to younger people. I mean, well, I'm not sure which, you know, which comes first, but it seems to affect all levels of all age levels. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter where you are in society, if you're, what your job is, who you are, anything, it can happen to anybody.
And it's also very common. Cancer at one time was not common. It was so rare. It absolutely was. Maybe.
Yeah.
So, and I can verify that from my own life experience, that at one time cancer was was very, very rare. And now it's so extremely common. It's become, people have become inured to it. You know, of course they get treatment and all that. And so anyway, so how can people, How can people find, get to know about where your event is taking place? And how can people participate in the event? And can anyone take photos of something yellow? So maybe you might like to talk about that.
Okay. Well, how you could find the event is you can, there's a couple ways. You can go onto Facebook and type in Illuminate Canada Yellow 2026. Or it's also on my art page on Facebook, which is at Marie LeBlanc Artist. And you can also go to the Environmental Health Association of Manitoba's website, or you can go to my website, which is brand new as of about a month ago, marieleblanc.net. It's got a whole different look now. And you should be able to find us there. And anybody can take any photos. People can go out and have a date night and have fun, or bring their friends, get some people in there, take a picture of their dog, you know, anything, something with yellow in it. And it would be nice to make it fun and just do that. And they can, if the legislature or any building is in their area, they can, you know, bring some friends or just go take some pictures and share it with me. So they can share it with me by either on my messenger or put it into the comment. I'll be posting different posts throughout the day, and they could throw it within that post so that it all relates to the landmarks or the color yellow. And then they could put Illuminate Canada Yellow 2026 with the pound mark in front of it. And those are the main ways. Or they could email me at whosayswe.needfreshair@gmail.com, and I can share it. So there's different ways that they can share the photos.
So May is the environmental sensitivities and multiple sensitivities month, awareness month. So when would you just repeat the times in May when this event is going to be happening, the illumination of places in yellow?
Okay, it's May 1st to May 12th, and then the 13th is the wrap-up, so I guess May 1st to May 13th. And May 1st is the biggest, has the most places being lit up, and other places between May 1st and May 12th. And I just received a message. It sounds like MCS Aware in UK might be joining. And I've also, because you asked me about music, I thought, well, let's ask some people with chemical sensitivities who make music. So each day I'm trying to get them, and I'm going to try and post one each day of somebody with chemical sensitivities and share their music.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you, Marie, for joining us this morning and giving us so much information and for sharing your own experiences and knowledge of living with multiple chemical sensitivities and telling us about the important work that you are doing. And this, especially this project, Illuminate Canada Yellow 2026. So, would you like to? I think you had suggested a song. I sent it to John. I think. What is the song again?
I woke up choking on the morning light by Johnny Ray Hudson.
Okay, let's give it a listen.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Marie, for joining us.
You're welcome. Okay. Take care.
Okay. You too.
Bye.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks.
Woke up choking on a morning light. Walls feel toxic, the air don't feel right. Perfume ghosts in a stranger's breath. Feels like poison in my chest. Rooms that kill me look normal to you. White walls hiding what more can do. They say I'm fine, they say I'm safe, but my body screams in every place. Doctor's eyes, they look confused. Charged and scared, say nothing's wrong with you. But I'm drowning in this world of fumes. Trying to survive, don't know what to do. It's an invisible sickness. Fighting things you can't see.
miss the life I used to know. Simple things, just breathing slow. Open windows, crowded rooms, rainy days and cheap perfume. Now the air decides my fate, what I touch, where I stay, what I lose, what I can't keep, what the world takes when I sleep. Doctor's eyes, they look confused. Charts and scans say nothing's wrong. I just woke up one day and the air wasn't right. I lost a life I planned on, but I kept my name. Still me inside the signet, still me in the pain. It's a quiet kind of suffering. Blood, no cast, no proof. Just a nervous system on fire and a body stuck in truth. Not dying, not living, just surviving every day. Trying to exist in a world that my biology can't tolerate. It's an invisible signal, but I know it's real inside. Every symptom, every trigger, every breath I have. Insane, I'm sensitive, not weak, I'm inflamed, not broken, I'm injured by a toxic world unashamed. I'm not fragile, I'm aware, I'm not lost, I'm just exiled from a world that calls poison normal air.
Well, that's a very powerful song. Are you still there, Marie? I guess she left.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You're listening to CKOW 95.9 FM, and my name is Mary Jane Eason, and we're with John Dick. And our guest today is Marie LeBlanc. And John, did you have any commentary?
Not really.
Okay. Marie, I think we still have a bit of time. I think I was just going over the proclamation, and it's a very comprehensive list of statements, and I think maybe would you like to just read them off, because I think it's very important to know about that. And also it's interesting that this information is being sent to the mayors of the different cities, so it's really spreading the information around, which is a very important step in getting changes made.
Okay, so you wanted me to read which part of the proclamation?
Well, maybe you could just read the statements. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 statements, perhaps. I think that would
okay.
I'll
read them.
Okay.
Okay. So it says environmental sensitivities, multiple chemical sensitivity awareness 2026. Whereas environmental sensitivities, including multiple chemical sensitivity, can substantially limit function and significantly impact quality of life. And whereas the Canadian Human Rights Commission recognizes environmental sensitivities And whereas it is estimated that more than 1 million people in Canada have been diagnosed with multiple chemical sensitivity, and whereas individuals with multiple chemical sensitivity are at higher risk of experiencing electromagnetic hypersensitivity and vice versa, and whereas symptoms can range from mild to severely debilitating, and whereas environmental sensitivities, multiple chemical sensitivity, ESMCS Awareness Month is observed in May, with May 12th recognized as Environmental Sensitivities, Multiple Chemical Sensitivity Awareness Day. And whereas to achieve a better quality of life, individuals with environmental sensitivities, multiple chemical sensitivity require access to safe housing and appropriate health care. And whereas community efforts by organizations and individuals raise awareness, offer hope, and support research through advocacy and funding. Now, therefore, I, whoever the name of the mayor is, on behalf of their city council, do hereby proclaim May 12, 2026 as Environmental Sensitivities, Multiple Chemical Sensitivity Awareness Day in the city of whichever city it is.
And that'll be good to see how they follow up with that. The city of Winnipeg is about, they're going to be putting in these smart meters. And I was at the city hall meeting last year, with Mark Friesen. And Mark Friesen did talked about this, about the issues, about people who have these sensitivities to cell towers and so on. And basically she was wanting to make the city councilors aware of this, and also that people should be given, they should be given some special treatment, or I'm not sure what she was proposing, but if they have these sensitivities, the city should acknowledge that and do something about it. And so I don't think the city councilors are not aware of this, don't seem to be particularly interested, but they are being informed. And so I'm glad that this information is being sent to the mayor, because we need to keep up the pressure of having this information recognized as being a really very something to be concerned about. So thank you, Marie, for joining us this morning. It was very nice talking to you again. And thank you for all the good work you're doing.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I guess we can move along here. I'm just going to check to see what I had some information I wanted to share. I came across something about Veolia, and of course that's a company in France that provides services for getting. I guess I'm just going to read this here. From what I read from the website. It says, have a drink, wash your hands, cook dinner, clean your dishes, take a shower, bathe the loved one. These daily activities could be jeopardized under private water schemes that put profits over people. We have seen it over and over again. When corporations take over our water systems, it can lead to unaffordable bills, service issues, and dangerous cost cutting that endangers public health and safety. And so they are pleading, this is actually happening in the United States right now. They want help. Every householder should help us protect every householder's access to safe drinkable water and hold Veolia accountable for its abuses. Veolia is the world's largest private water corporation, and today it is holding its annual shareholders meeting, and that was just a few days ago. Last year, it raked over $5 $1 billion in North American revenue alone, and now executives aim to double that revenue in 2030. But Veolia's long track record of abuse shows that its profits come at the expense of communities. We recently made our voices heard in the Boston Globe calling out Veolia's dangerous track record. The corporation told Flint residents, this is in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, sorry, the corporation told Flint residents their water was safe after privately acknowledging the potential of lead contamination. Under Veolia's management, the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority switched to corrosion control chemical to a cheaper alternative without required state approval. This was followed by a dangerous lead crisis for residents who were left to deal with the fallout. Meanwhile, Veolia pocketed $11 million for its contracts in the city. Veolia's abuses aren't a mistake. They're a pattern. It prioritizes maximizing profits for shareholders over communities, leaving residents to bear the consequences. So this was sent by the Water Campaign Director, Neil Gupta, Corporate Accountability. And he says, we deserve safe access to safe, clean water. So they're asking for help for the people of Flint and Pittsburgh, who are suffering from the effects of Veolia's, the work that they did. And I recall this company came up at one time years ago, and I'm not quite sure. I think it was in Canada, and there was a big concern about this particular company and how they operate, and that we should be very careful if it ever comes to our city to have services by Veolia, or any city for that matter. That this is a company that needs to be avoided. It has a very bad reputation. I just thought I'd throw that in. Okay, we have some time left. I can share a recipe. I have a recipe that... and I guess Earth Day 2026 happened this week on April 22nd. It's now past. So this is Our Power, Our Planet. This Earth Day not only affirms real, resilient, and ongoing environmental progress, but also highlights the power that every individual has to create substantial change. There are numerous ways to partake in the upcoming Earth Day, which is already passed. A few ideas have been noted below, and we hope that at least one of these will resonate with you and your families. So it says you could host a movie screening of the letter Laudato Si film. And that's interesting. Do a hike or a walk, or simply be outside praying and reflecting on the ecological examine. And anyway, these are just something that came from Canada's Integral Ecology Team. So I thought, and the Laudato Si it's a film. Laudato Si, there's a film about it. It's based on the book written by the late Pope Francis. And it's all about faith and the common good and about the environment and so on. Anyway, I have a recipe to share before we end this show. It's called frittata, and it's a very fairly simple recipe. You'll need 4 potatoes thinly sliced, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, a dash of paprika, 2 scallions sliced, a sprinkling of salt. Place the potatoes on a baking sheet in a 375 degree oven and cover with foil, shiny side down, and bake for about 8 to 10 minutes until potatoes are becoming tender. Then you sprinkle with paprika, parsley, and chives.
Transfer the baked potatoes to an 8-inch square pan and sprinkle lightly with salt. And then you're going to have a topping. You'll need 4 eggs and grated cheese and 2 tablespoons of cream and 1/4 teaspoon of salt, paprika for sprinkling, 1 tablespoon of finely chopped parsley, and 1 tablespoon of finely chopped chives. In a medium bowl, beat the eggs along with the cream and 1/4 teaspoon of salt until frothy. Pour the egg mixture over the potatoes and sprinkle with cheese and top with a sprinkling of paprika, chives, and parsley and bake for 20 minutes or until the eggs are firm. So this is a fairly simple recipe, and it does include dairy and eggs, so it's not exactly vegetarian, vegan, but it's for those that can that are okay with milk, and you can also use, I guess you could use soy milk as well. So I guess we are a little bit ahead of ourselves this morning.
Yeah, got 4 minutes left.
My goodness. Well, do we have do you think there's another song that we could play?
Yeah, I can put one on.
Yeah, just to...
Here's a hard mode life for us. Here's a hard mode life for us. Every breath feels like a fight. Toxic air, day and night. What? It's the hard mode life for us. No safe room, no clean trust. Doctors say it's in your head. While the walls make us half dead. Woke up choking on the morning light. Walls sweating poison overnight. Black stains creeping, hidden thread. Body keeps score, mind forgets rest. Sinus burning, pressure pain. Brain on fire, nervous system strain. They say, move on, just calm down. But more don't care if you're rich or broke down. It's the hard mode life for us. It's the hard mode life for us. One bad smell, whole day lost. Paying health with a living cost. Lost my job, lost my home. Can't breathe where the others roam. Perfume cleaners, gasoline. One whiff turns my lights off clean. Insurance labs, doctors shrug. Label pain like a mental bug, but the same feel.
You've been listening to Wooden Spoons, on sponsored by Mary Jane's Cooking School on CKUW 95.9 FM. For our podcast, please go to ckuw.ca. The program will be up in just a few hours. Until next time, this is John Dick and Mary Jane Eason saying bye for now.